Are my ears playing tricks on me again? The evil that my own body can do to my mind, why is it tormenting me? My ears can hear that hissing, rustling sound again, the rustling in some corner far away in the distance. This time I will not let it get away. My determination is steadfast and I will find the source. The disparaged feeling that I now attach myself is not even worth mentioning. This delicate rustling now has more worth than my own life in this world. What I was guilty of, like all of us, was that standing still did not stop the world from turning. We were all searching for a purpose, but that purpose was not one we found. Self-indulgent was our turmoil of a crime, and for that we paid the ultimate price. Now I am broken. My body is a collection of purgatory sins with years of suffering that we all inflicted on our dear planet. I have no shame or self-respect any longer, and tears fall uncontrollably from my eyes. My nose, I can feel, lets the mucus build and congest my nostrils. I can feel myself shaking. Even the tears now feel like blunt razor blades peeling my cornea away and ripping the skin off my face as they make a path towards my neck. I lay on my front. My energy has long since dissipated into the ether that surrounds me. This place has consumed it. It has consumed me. This place had at first been my salvation and shelter, but in return, it took everything from me. This doomed, cavernous environment that has darkened depths that even the devil would shy away from. My head feels heavy as a boulder, and I try to lift it and look up into the darkness. I let it fall again onto the hard floor below. My chin hits the stone, gravel floor, and my tongue gets caught between my teeth. I have no reserve left to release my pain with any more sound. I force my arms ahead of me, reach out with my hands and stretch my fingers. They feel tight and fragile. I am sure I cannot feel all of them anymore as I reach out. I am not sure what I hope to find with the tips of my peeling flesh on my fingers. My feet blistered and wet from a mixture of what must be blood, infection and necrotic tissue. I push with my toes arched on the floor to force my body forwards. To move just a couple of centimetres costs me invaluable calories. Calories that I have no way of replenishing at all. I have to remind myself what I was reaching here for on the floor. It must have been something of importance, as the movement is so painful for me to carry out. My breathing is now shallow and my ribs rub painfully against the floor. Each inhalation and expiration of the ribcage causes stabbing and rubbing that I can only imagine is the pleural lining of my lungs ripping against the coarse edges of my ribs. The movement causes me to cough. I taste an offensive metallic substance in my mouth. It makes me retch. Retch with empty gastric tracts sends wave after wave of flame-burning colic from my abdomen to my throat. As it reaches and hits my dry, deserted throat, it causes me to gag. Sweat pours from my forehead, and I heave over and over and over again. Nothing comes out apart from dry, offensive air from my lips. Even as I try to spit on the floor, it's useless. After a few moments, it all settles and I feel a wave of calm. I pant in an effort to get some air back into me. My head hits the floor. With grit mixed with sweat, comforting my face as it lies on the floor. I have lost all function and control, unable to maintain any form of dignity. I know my urine stains what is left of my jeans, I can feel the fecal incontinence due to the force of my retching. Do I feel sorry for myself? For what purpose? Do I feel cursed to have survived this long? I don't know anymore. My eyelids are heavy and they are closing. I have endured. I surrender. I want to be taken away now. If I had been able to predict this is what it would have been, how I would have longed for this to be over some time ago. The last moments, my final performance will be alone in here. No encore, no curtain to be drawn over me, no tears, no claps or speeches from anyone that remembers me. Life is about what we do while we are alive, to leave memories, to have those memories told over and over again by people that we surround ourselves with. That gives meaning to our life. But if there are no others to reminisce over us, does that mean our life had no meaning? That our connections were a failure of our existence? Is this what I have now become? A failure of our existence? Back to the flesh on my bones, clinging onto hope and losing all aspect of being steady on the path. This is now all of civilization and how it has all become. But we tried to evolve. We tried to feed our brains and germinate how knowledge could expand and be liberated. But the painful and fatal truth of it all is that our greed bound us to bondage and ultimately sacrifice ourselves. Rustling. It is faint but close. On the level of my ears, hair down on the floor. I am still. Not by choice, but by circumstance, as there is nothing left within me to move. But that gives me the lack of movement to focus and study this alien sound of rustling. Here it is again. Now I am sure. It inhabits the same darkness that I am suffocated by. Yet the sound gives me the impression it is so alive, so full of vigour and enthusiasm. I blow out a gust of offensive breath over my desolate lips. Stone is stuck in between the crypts that have formed on my lips. Even the slightest movement of my lips creates pain. Pain from the tightness of the skin around them. Pain from the lack of moisture on them. I muster the strength and rock my head back to face the direction of the rustling. This time, the sound did not cease. It continued in its busy self, searching, scraping away in its organized manner. It has a purpose, I can tell. I allow my eyes to open. My eyelids move apart and I focus. I try to focus with my pupils. Pupils that will be fixed in a constant state of dilatation. A strange sensation is felt. I recognize this, but I am sure what it is. I am sure this is something normal. My eyes, they do not just see darkness. I blink several times and each time I strain my eyes and keep them open, it is the same sensation, the same experience. My head is still cocked back and facing the direction of the sound. My dilated pupils getting accustomed to this new exposure. A brightness that seems so frightening in the environment. It is so focused and so small, but there it is. It flickers as I keep my eyes on it. Flickering in time to the rustling of the sound. I want to reach out, but I cannot feel any sensation in my arms any longer. I need to get noticed. I open my mouth, strain my throat, allow my vocal cords to flex and contract. An effort to make a sound, to be noticed. The rustling stops. I stare at the small dot of brightness, no larger than a buttonhole. But its brilliance radiates and powers through. I slowly come back to me. It comes back to the processing cortex of my brain, what this is that has caught my attention. Light. Why are the stars falling to Earth? my daughter asks as we watch the news bulletins that show on constant rotation on every television channel. The stars are, in fact, comets raining down on the earth. This day was warned, we were warned, but we never thought it would be in our lifetime or in our children's lifetime. Why are the oceans splashing high everywhere, Daddy? The voice of my daughter now has an undertone of concern. The mighty seas raged against the landmass and reclaimed what it felt entitled to. As the water levels rose within hours, cultivating areas that were deemed were ours and safe. Why are the bonfires so big? The vast forest fires catch my daughter's attention on one of the news channels as they destroy ecosystems with no empathy for the barrenness they leave in their wake. Why is the snow so thick and white? My daughter always got so excited with the pure innocence of snow, but not what she sees now. Thick, unforgiving blankets of snow burying all that the eye can see. My wife held my daughter's hand as she wanted to run outside and see the kaleidoscope of climate changes, confusing all we had come to understand. I looked over to my wife, looked into her beautiful eyes. We both did not need to speak. We brought this on ourselves. We did this. This is our punishment for being obtuse in our behavior to our beloved Earth. Hindsight and reflection, those damning words, futile now even to whisper. I see my daughter's hand go white from the pressure from my wife's grip. I look into her eyes, her broken innocence at this point. She radiates disappointment in us all, in the world. She smiles the last smile that I will ever see. A flash of light thunders into the room. For a second, the light seems so inviting, like it was the safety we were waiting for. It captivated us just for the perfect moment. The perfect picture of my daughter standing holding the hand of my wife. My dearest wife, who I waited a lifetime for. They both allow the light to absorb them, to comfort them, even if just for a moment. That moment passes. The tensity of the silence descends to such a deafness. Then, the darkness falls all around us. There is no way to stop the feeling of disappointment right now. I mean, perhaps disappointment is the incorrect term. Actually, that's right. On second thoughts, I think disappointment is the correct term to describe the notion of failings. Disappointment is the term to use for the realization of the failure we have all accepted now.